It's just open our hearts to what Martin wants to say by the Spirit. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you. Good morning. Goeiemôre. Hallo. Daar's hy. Ons is boertjies en ons moet nou Engels praat, but that's okay. The Lord will help us with the gift of tongues. So, thank you, Alistair, and the elders, and so far, all you guys, thank you for allowing us to be with you. It's an honor to serve the body of Christ, a real honor. So we thank you for that great privilege of serving you guys this morning. This is a full circle for me. I'm very familiar with this hall. My wife and I, we've been in full-time ministry now for 10 years, and when we started in 2006 with the schools, this was the first school we ministered in on a weekly basis, and after that we went to 7 high schools in Bloemfontein, all the major high schools in Bloemfontein. We ministered in on a weekly basis about prayer. We were raising up prayer warriors in the schools called SHIPS, Storming Heaven in Prayer Squads. So I'm standing here. The Lord, it seems like the Lord loves to come full circle. So it's my lekker om te staan in dien vir sy sal. Dankie, Jesus. I want to ask you just say, I've got 2 prayer clips that I want to show you guys as well. It's a miracle for us to minister in 30 or 20 minutes. We need the grace of the Lord, but I will do my best just to get to the basic core points. But I just want to ask you a question, and that is, what is needed for us to be able to sit in this hall this morning with the lights, with this mic, with the musicians on stage, everything that makes it possible for us to operate this morning in technology? What is the answer? Power, but more specifically, electricity, right? Am I right? Electricity. So tell me, if the lights went out while we were worshiping the Lord and this mic goes down and everything just goes quiet, dark, will we immediately start to run to find the coffee machine? Will we go and find the malt jar? Will we look for anything else than the power source? We will go immediately for the answer. What is the solution? The power plug or the generator or whatever, we will look for the answer for our dilemma. Am I right? Not for anything else. Well, the Bible clearly states and tells us that the power of the kingdom, the electricity of the kingdom of heaven, is preaching. Am I right? You're wrong. The power of the kingdom is teaching or evangelism. Am I right? I'm wrong. I'm just waiting for somebody to say the right answer. The Bible is very clear that the only way that we can get the resources of heaven to earth, the only connection that you have, it's not even your Bible, is prayer. It's communication with God. You can read about God's will, but to manifest God's will on earth, the electricity, the power source from heaven as it is in heaven, Jesus said, this is the way we should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, the kingdom come. Sorry, this is because of the time that I have. As it is in heaven, so upon the earth. The only way that we can get what is in heaven down to this planet, the only cell phone connection, the only power way, electricity, the Bible says, and we haven't got time for all the scriptures, is prayer. Now, if that is, we need the power of heaven to manifest in us and through us in the church, in our individual lives, if the answer is prayer, and the congregation, we all say, amen, prayer, how come we don't do it so much? How come we neglect it so much? How come when we get to churches, and we've been in the church now with the Lord Jesus for 32 years, ek lyk maar net so jonk, maar ek is 52, God is good. But how come if we know and we say, amen, prayer is the answer, how come that when you have a prayer meeting, two or three people show up? Where's the rest of the church? Oof, you guys are quiet. Where's the church? If we say, amen, prayer is the answer, how come it's the most neglected element in the kingdom is prayer? You ask any pastor. Ask any spiritual leader, except a church where they receive the revelation that the answer for everything that church needs is prayer. What do you want in shofar? Do you want the power of God to manifest here? You will get it through praying. The church becoming a praying church. You want the gifts of the Spirit to operate more? The only way it's going to happen is by interceding and praying for it. You want more people to come and get saved, and not just the believers sitting here Sunday by Sunday, but new people, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the down and out Mensa, they're coming, they are drawn to this church. How are you going to get that? Becoming a praying church. Do you guys realize that two-thirds of the God, I don't like that Godhead, it's a monster, sounds terrible, but the Trinity, two-thirds of the Trinity are intercessors. Did you know that? Twee derdes van die Trinity, but no, the Son, Jesus Christ, it says He's our high priest, and He intercedes for us every moment before the throne, praying for His church. So Jesus is a prayer warrior. The Holy Spirit, it says He helps us. It's interesting not to preach, which we know He does, but the Bible says He helps us when we don't know how to pray. Two-thirds of the Trinity are praying. They're praying. How much more the church? Hallelujah. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. Lack of time. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I'm just going to paraphrase. Ek het nog nie daai brein daai. Wat is daai? Hulle teken so. Alles net so. Wat? Fotogeniese? Wat? Fotografiese brein. Ja, wat ook al. Anyway. So. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. God says, I was looking for a man to stand in the gap. Where? Between heaven and earth. But I could not find one. That's such a predicament. That's bad news, man. I could not find one. He says, I'm looking to build the wall. When you read a scripture about walls, you must know it's talking about prayer. The temple is gone. Daai eerste tempel in tabernakel. Who is the temple of God? Come on, guys. Me and you. Hello, my sister. How are you? Long class to see. It's lekker you to see. We are the temple. Listen, guys. A temple has got a roof, windows, doors. Jesus is on the door. But a temple has got walls. So when you read in the New Testament or in the Bible, God is saying that He wants us to repair the walls. What God is saying to you and me, He wants us to repair the walls of prayer. Because my house will be called a house of preaching. There we go again. There we go again. Yeah, you're getting it. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. We have made the church a house of preaching. Listen. Listen carefully what I'm saying. We have made the church a house of preaching, a house of teaching, a house of evangelism, a house of youth groups, a house of many things, except my house will be called a house of prayer. Inasmuch as preaching is important, don't say what I didn't say. Preaching is important. Teaching is important. Evangelism is very important. Caring for the widows and the poor and the youth groups and everything is important. But it needs to flow from the base, the foundation of that church being prayer. I haven't got enough time to teach about prayer. This is not teaching. This is just, it's just going quickly through the thing because of time. If I could jump quickly, where's the keyboard player? Was the keyboard? Oh, quickly, come, my brother, come, quickly. Hey, but you was running. Come. I'm 52. Come. Hey! Is it on? Is there power? If not, pray. Is there power? Please, middle C or G or whatever, just play the... Right. All right. Just take away your bass note. Just play the top ones, not the bass. Don't put bass. Leave your hand. Just put a little bit of the chord, but leave out the bass note. Again. Now keep the full chord, but now add the bass of the chord. Now just put the key there, top. And put bass. Did you hear it? It's full. It's completed. It's got a foundation. Put it again. Leave the bass. Now put it again. And the bass. And the full chord play. Do you hear that? Prayer is the foundation note of everything in the kingdom. Oh, guys. Thank you. You did well. Hallelujah. Let me just read you. Oh, my Lord. I still want to show these clips. Just listen. If the church would only awaken to a responsibility of intercession, prayer, we could well evangelize the world in a short time. No one is a firmer believer in the power of prayer than the devil. Not that the devil prays, but he suffers from it. Hy weet hy probleme as 'n kerk begin bid. Preaching, I've got so much, but anyway, let me just jump. Preaching affects men. Prayer affects God. If the world, this has been said, my brother Alistair, and remember, all these things are important, but if the bass note is not there, it's not sufficient enough. Preachers are acknowledging this. They're saying, if preaching could have changed the world, or South Africa, or Bloemfontein, we would have had a transformed society long ago because guys have been preaching here for more than 100 years. If teaching, evangelism, everything was the answer, then why not a transformed society? Just maybe the bass note is gone. Just maybe. Prayer affects God. Preaching affects time. Prayer affects eternity. Leonard Ravenhill. The same Leonard Ravenhill was a great revivalist. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. We're going to look at anguish, the clip of David Wilkerson. Few agonizers. Mense wat die hart van God op hulle dra. Mense wat besorg is oor hoe lyk die land. Mense wat besorg is oor die lou toestand van die kerk. People, men, women of God, young and old, who are concerned that people are happy with just doing church. You know, we can do church very well. We know how to do church. We know. But where's the power? Where's the presence of Jesus? More and more. It will come through prayer. We have few agonizers. Many players, few payers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers to God. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, few fighters. There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in powerful, united prayer. A.T. Pearson. Prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Charles Spurgeon. And then somebody that I know, Martin Talliot, I've heard about this guy. He said, if the Church of Jesus Christ really had a revelation of the spiritual realm and understood the tremendous power of prayer and the effect it has on both the spiritual and physical realms, the attendance of Christians in prayer meetings would outnumber the attendance of Sunday morning services. Do you see? Look around you. Do you see all these people, all these believers? I don't know if you're all at the same church here, but do you see? When Alistair calls the midweek prayer meeting, which is supposed to be at least a midweek prayer meeting for a church, any church. Some churches doesn't have one at all. But if the prayer meeting was called, all of you should be there, at least you, in the prayer meeting. Not just five or three intercessors. It's not God's will that a church like this have got the professional called intercessors. No. God's will at this is that shofar becomes a powerful prayer house. And when he calls a prayer meeting, all of the congregation is there and more. I haven't got things to share with you today because maybe it's another time. I want to show you DVDs of what's happening when the church becomes a praying church. When the pastor of the church says that his favorite meeting is the Tuesday night prayer meeting, not the sermon on Sundays, and the whole church agrees. Oh, they love the morning service and the message of the Lord. But the highest on the agenda of excitement is the prayer meeting on Tuesday nights, which is attended by more than 5,000 people. 5,000, more than that. The prayer meeting starts at 5 and finishes at 9. Owens, 4 ure. What is wrong with those guys? No, it's what's right with them. They've discovered the joy of prayer. It's not just a ritual. It's joyful. It's full of the presence of Jesus. 4 hours. They come directly from work at 5. It's New York, Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. They come from work to be the prayer meeting. And then they will go back and eat. Because they find Jesus so much in the prayer of the saints. It's just amazing. You must see it. All right. Now, just believe me. Let me go. When did I start? Yeah, I started at 4:15. Okay. Oh, my. Let me just read. We live in serious and desperate times which require... We live in serious and desperate times which require serious and desperate prayer. The same intercession which Anna offered to heaven when she prayed in the temple courts day and night, oftentimes not leaving the temple for 60 years, praying for the Messiah to come, and then one day he did. Jesus showed up in the temple. But she prayed for 60 years. The same passion that John the Baptist had when he cried in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And then one day, Jesus came. One day, we will pray, and you guys will be praying. And then one day, Jesus just might walk in this place. and reveal himself in visions, and you guys are all on the floor. Just one day, while you're praying with a hunger for the presence of the Lord and more of the power of the Lord Jesus, and then one day he will come to shofar, and this church will never be the same again. The same passion that made John Knox of Scotland said, "Give me Scotland or I'll die." The passion that Andrew Murray's father had when he faithfully, without fail, prayed every Friday night for 36 years for the revival for South Africa, but he never saw it. He died. He went to be with the Lord. And Andrew Murray Jr. received the inheritance of the revival of 1860 to 1862 that shook the nation of South Africa. En vandag nog is die Pinksterdienste van die NG Kerk die result van daai revival, het jy het geweet. The sad truth is that the majority of all believers, pastors and spiritual leaders today, including most probably every one of us sitting here today, have never personally witnessed or been part of such a biblical revival that you read about in books. I want to encourage you young guys. Stop studying the rugby and what is the number 13 se naam and number 12 se rol of 15. You know, study revivals. Go and start. Get books. I've got 10 of them at home. Go and study books of revivals of the generals that was here before us. And let that stir you. My life was totally transformed by studying revivals of what God did through praying men and women. Totally transformed. My life calling came out of that in ministry. Go and study revivals, guys. Because the Lord wants to do it again for Bloemfontein. The Lord wants to do it again for South Africa. But we need to become a praying church. Thank you for that amen, that lone amen, amen. We need to be revived again. You saw the movie of the Passion of Christ. A passion that could not keep Jesus away from the cross. In spite of his agony in Gethsemane. Could not keep him away from the cross. Could not keep him away out of the grave. He had to rise for us on the third day. That same passion must be in our hearts. My friend, my brother, my sister, do you have that passion in your heart this morning for his presence? And the only way you will get it is prayer. It's not just by Bible study and preaching. The main thing is by prayer. The question is, do you as a believer, do we as a church know that the Lord's house is supposed to be a house of prayer? The question even more is, do we really know what it's like? How does it look like? What does a praying church look like? Is it the pastor opening with a prayer in the beginning and then ending with a prayer and we think we're a praying church? No. It looks quite differently when you have a church that's a praying church. It's quite different than just in the beginning and the end. It's a life of a church. It's the very life of that church. I'm going to stop there. Still much, but I'm going to leave that out now. I will finish with this and just show you these clips. We can no longer shout amen to words of preaching and teaching which we do not actually obey and practice ourselves. Verstaan julle? Ons kan nie meer goed hier voorsien nie. Alistair kan nie meer hier preek en dan sê jy amen. Maar jy doen dit nie. You just get excited here, but you don't live it. So somebody comes and talks about the transformation of South Africa and how we need to stand up. Then I and you need to really stand up. Faith without works are dead. If we say that prayer is the answer, will shofar become a praying church? Or will you just say amen? Faith without works is dead. The time has come for the body of Christ in Bloemfontein to no longer talk about prayer. Ons moet net praat nie, because it's not the kingdom is not talking, but power. Not just talking about prayer, but actually praying and becoming a praying church. And we have to start to pray like we've never done before. Can you just show me, brother, just that clip? And then I will end with David Wilkerson, the anguish. Just show the first clip. This has been some years ago on the prayer mountain. Here in Bloemfontein, this is Naval Hill. We call it prayer mountain. Just watch this. Just need some sound, eh? That'll be good.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost begin to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God's moving, a mighty river through the nation, and young and old.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Alistair. What do you feel the Spirit wants to do now? I just want to ask Alistair in respect to the pastor here, and he said we can show that clip. It's a 6-minute. Just look at David Wilkerson, what he says. And then I think after that, the Lord will lead us what we need to do today as Shofar Church. Amen.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish. Deep pain. Deep sorrow. Agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, He would share His own anguish for what God saw happening to His church and to His people. And He would find a praying man and He would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion. Not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no. I broke down. And I wept. And I mourned. And I fasted. And then I begin to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish. No weeping. Not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all? That God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion? Blind to lukewarmness? Blind to the mixture that's creeping in. That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you, is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that begins to interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin, and it drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony. Until I have been anguished over it. And all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do, where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, His heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let Him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me. Don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's some need to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I am not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical can give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
Just want us to just allow the Spirit of God to just come and work in our hearts right now, because I just really want to thank my brothers. Yes, I love you guys so much. Just share the same heart as you guys. God really connected me amazingly with Arno and Martin and many others in the city that have a passion. I'm so glad God sent me to Bloemfontein. Could have sent me anywhere else. I was willing to go anywhere. I said, Lord, send me wherever. God sent me to this amazing city with so much potential. There's really not much I can say right now, to be honest, because I'm massively challenged as well. But just two things. The one, just in response to Arnu. I really believe, guys, and I want you to, the visitors here, excuse me, I'm doing a bit of a house talk, but I really want us to consider, and there's a reason why these two guys came to the morning service, and they're not coming tonight. We'll get them to come to the evening service again sometime, but my heart's desire is that we become the voice that God is wanting us to become in this city. We can do a lot of things. We can get people saved, get people healed, disciple people. That's very important. But I really believe we've got to stand up and be shofar in Bloemfontein. Be the shofar in Bloemfontein. Be God's voice. And you know what? It's been a battle. I'll be honest with you. It's been a massive battle. Since we got here, it's been a battle to get that established in our church. You can ask my wife. It hasn't been easy. But I really believe it's from God this morning. God is telling us this is what our mandate is. And we're going to heal people. God has started to do physical healings in our church. He's healed people physically the last couple of weeks. He's healing people emotionally. He's getting people saved. Not as many as I would like. I'd really like to see more people getting saved. Because, you know, unfortunately, we're getting a lot of other church people, which is fantastic, but it's not God's heart. God wants to get people saved, discipled. But I think the first thing is we need to say yes to the call that is on our lives as a church, or not on our lives, but as a church. And secondly, is I really want to respond to Martin. And I think it just so ties in. The sad thing is the last while we've actually stopped our Friday morning prayer meeting because people didn't come anymore. Hardly any people came. It was mainly for students, so I guess it's okay. Students come and go. And students are students. But I'm talking to older people here this morning. I'm talking to people that should be taking ownership and that need to take ownership of the vision that God has given us in Bloemfontein. So I hope you guys know when we do pray as a church. Maybe the sad thing is that you don't even know when we pray as a church. We've actually limited it to Sunday. 8 to 9 on a Sunday and 5 to 6 on a Sunday. So no, Martin, we don't have a midweek prayer meeting. How sad is that? We don't have a weekly prayer meeting anymore. Other than a Sunday when everyone is comfortable. So we made it a bit comfortable for people. But I think it's about to change. I think it's about to change. So let's come. Let's come on a Sunday. Come at 8 o'clock and come at 5 o'clock if you can. That's the start. But I think we're going into times when we're going to pray for 4 hours on a Wednesday night instead of having cell group. Amen. Instead of having nice fellowship on a Thursday night or Tuesday night or whenever, I think it's time that we pray 4 to 6 to 8 to 12 hours through the night. Instead of having nice, comfortable fellowship. And you know what's going to happen? People get saved in those prayer meetings. People get healed. People get delivered. So I don't know about you, but I'm stirred. I'm stirred to shake the boxes. But you know what? I'm going to leave that up to you guys. You know why? Because there's better pastors sitting amongst you than me. There's better leaders sitting amongst you than me. Why me, Lord? Why am I the pastor? I don't know. God knows. But I want to just say one thing this morning. I'm speaking to leaders here this morning. And I want to say, leaders, stand up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Leaders, start to lead, okay? Because I'm not the only leader here. And we demonstrated this morning, team ministry. There's two guys that could have preached for hours. I mean, we could have listened to them for hours and hours. I could have preached for hours, but I want to say, leaders, stand up and take ownership of the vision that God has given us as a church. I mean, He hasn't given it to me. He's given it to us. If you don't want to be in this church anymore, please go. Telling you this morning, be comfortable and go to another church. But in Shofar, there's a reason why we're not growing so quickly, because it's not comfortable here. Can anyone say amen? Can anyone say amen? It's not comfortable in Shofar. Maybe some of you are comfortable, but I can tell you it's going to get even more uncomfortable, because it's going to get to this place of anguish. And I can see Lawrence laughing, because he's just come to our church. He's just come. And he hasn't been here. He hasn't been allowed to be comfortable because he's new. Some of you are still new. So you aren't allowed to become comfortable because you haven't been here so long. Because God is intensifying the Spirit. So I'm excited for the season. And that's why I say we're going to grow, but it's not about a comfortable place anymore. So, Father, I just want to thank You for Your word this morning, God. I want to thank You for release over this congregation, Lord. It's not my congregation, Lord. It's Your congregation. It's Your people, Lord. And I pray release of Your Spirit, God. I thank You that we will stand up as Shofar, Lord. People will not recognize us. They will see more of Jesus. Because there's too many people. There's too many names. There's too many stuff out there, Lord. And it's not often not much to do with you, Lord. You're kind of there on the background or in the corner somewhere, Lord. But Jesus, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we'll become the people that you want us to become. This morning as a church, we repent, Lord, of comfortable Christianity. We repent of being comfortable, God. We repent of clicking in our holy huddles, God, where not many other people are always welcome, Lord. It's all about us. And as long as we can see our friends and just fellowship, Lord, then we're fine. Lord, I just thank you this morning that there's been a massive shift, God, in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. And Lord, it starts in each of our hearts. So I want to thank you this morning, God. I want to pray a blessing over Arnu and Leonie and over Martin and Carmel, Lord, and over their families and, Father, their ministry, God. Thank you this morning that we can receive them, Lord, and receive not them, Lord, but you, Jesus, that have come to speak. You have come to speak very clearly to us, Lord. And God, I pray for response, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that we'll stop becoming intentional, Lord, and start to do what you say we must do. Lord, I truly want us to become, and I know you want us to become a house of prayer for the nations, God. Because, Lord, we want to go to the nations, Lord, but often we first want to go to the nations before we even start to pray for the nations, God. So I pray, Lord, that you'd stop our missions, Lord, if we have to stop for a season, God. I pray that we will not go until we have a heart for those nations, God. Until we birth it in prayer in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, we thank you for change, Lord. Thank you for the winds of change, which are good, Lord. And it's, Lord, it's not always comfortable. It's not always nice. But thank you, Jesus, for joy. We're just so excited, Lord. But also at the same time, we know, like Arno said, we want to fight the difficult battles, Lord. And we say yes to that, God. I say yes to that as leader, Lord. As the pastor, yeah, as the representative, Lord, I say yes. And Lord, I pray for all of us to be courageous in this time. Be like Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Did I not say to you again, be strong and very courageous? In Jesus' name.